You're listening to Inside Out. Inside Out with Tim Gilligan is a podcast providing weekly biblical insight to encourage you on your walk with God. What you do day by day takes you to your future. And most of the time, the greatest fruit in your life is cultivated through the small spiritual disciplines you exercise on a consistent basis. This podcast is meant to help you live a life that is happy, stable, fruitful, and blessed. And now, let's get ready for Pastor Tim. Enjoy today's episode.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Out. And we are talking about the fear of the Lord. I want to encourage you to go back, listen to some of the previous episodes as we've shared about the fear of the Lord and just what that is. And for us to realize that the fear of the Lord is not this cringing, we're terrified, we're avoiding God. Rather, it's reverence, it's respect, we're in awe of Him. And most of all for me, that we hold Him in that high view, hold Him in that high place in our heart, in our life, in our motivations, in our priorities. Well, as we've seen, the fear of the Lord is taught. The fear of the Lord is learned. The fear of the Lord impacts our end of life and hereafter, our eternity. But the fear of the Lord also impacts us right now. It's important that we have the fear of the Lord in our lives now. And as I've shared with you previously, the fear of the Lord is often what's missing in our life. I know in my own life, there are times, seasons where attitudes, actions, decisions, they're off, and they're off because my view is off. I'm not holding God and His Word in that high place. Consequently, other things hold too much weight, hold too much importance, in your motivation, your decisions, or whatever. But to hold God and His Word in that high place, it makes a difference now, and it makes a difference in our forever. Well, as I said, the fear of the Lord is learned, it is taught, but it is also inspired. And I want to spend just a few minutes with you today talking about that. When something inspires you, it moves you. It stirs you. It sparks something in you. You can hear a song that moves you. You can hear other songs that don't move you. You can read a book, hear a sermon, see a sunset, look at a painting, and it can inspire you. You can be around people that inspire you. They move you. It stirs something in you. And so we'll see here in Scripture that God does something in our life very consistently, constantly, that actually inspires us to fear the Lord, to hold Him and His Word in that high place. So in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. This is the Lord speaking. And I will never stop doing good to them. Oh my goodness. Hear that again. I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. You know what? If you don't mind, we're going to read that whole verse again. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. Woo. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. If God Himself will never stop doing good to us, why would we turn away from Him? But notice, it's Him doing good to us that inspires us to fear Him, to hold Him and His Word in that high place. And once you get that properly aligned, why would you turn away from Him? Well, part of the same verse in the New Living Translation for Jeremiah 32:40 says, I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me, and they will never leave me. Well, a huge part of what inspires us to fear the Lord is just how incredibly good He is to us. I mean, that's what inspires us. That's what puts a desire in us to worship Him, to have the fear of the Lord, is to see how good He is to us. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, in the goodness of God turns us to repentance. It causes us to repent. So it's the goodness of God. It's His kindness to us that leads us to repent. And remember that repent means to turn. It's to change directions of our heart, our mind, the direction, the decisions of our life, to turn to Him. And, we get off base so easily. We get detoured and distracted so easily. And that's why we've got to come back and realize the goodness of God for us. So it is his goodness, it is his kindness to us that causes us, leads us to repent, to turn to him, to readjust ourselves, and to readjust that high view of God, to hold God in that high place. And that is inspired by the goodness of God. So again, what inspires us to fear the Lord? We're taught it in numerous ways, but what inspires that in our life is to see how incredibly good that God is to us. God, our Heavenly Father, here's some other attributes of God. He is omnipotent, which means he is all-powerful. He is almighty. He is unlimited, omnipotent. He is also omnipresent, which, and this boggles the mind, but this is God, and he's supernatural. God is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He has all power, and he is in all places at all times. I want to throw in there, too, regarding omnipresent. He's everywhere present at the same time, but he is not everywhere present in the same way. So he's everywhere, but where you pay attention to him and pray to him and worship him and seek to honor him, he's everywhere present in the same way, but he's not everywhere present in the, he's everywhere present in the same time, excuse me, but he's not everywhere present in the same way. It is where he is worshiped, where he is welcomed, where he is invited, where he is honored. He's going to be there in a whole different way. So God is omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty, unlimited. He is omnipresent, everywhere present at the same time. He's omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. He is the only wise God. But he is also omnibenevolent, which means he is always only good. I'm going to say it again. God is always only good. Now, God is strong. God is the judge. God is the boss. But at the end of it all, we will see that God is omnibenevolent. He is always only good. And we are still living in a dispensation or an age of grace. You know, with the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the opportunity for salvation and the blessing of God in our life to be redeemed, that we're in an age of grace. That's God's goodness. And we need to certainly take advantage of that in our life. But here's some ways that God is good to us. His grace that is more than enough. It's always sufficient. It's proportionate to everything. The grace of God is the help of God. We read in Hebrews that you can find grace to help in time of need. And so grace strengthens us and helps us what we could not do otherwise. His mercy, that's part of his goodness. My goodness, his mercy is it's his goodness, it's kindness to us that we do not deserve. Well, actually, we don't deserve grace either. It's the goodness of God. He's patient with us. He's long-suffering. He's so patient with us. Thank you, God. He provides for us. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's our Heavenly Father. He takes good care of his kids. He protects us. He leads us. He's that good shepherd that protects us and leads us. He helps us by the Holy Spirit. He forgives us. Thank God he forgives us and he restores us. Listen to me. God is good, and it's the goodness of God that causes us to turn and to repent and to hold him in that high place. Actually, the root word for God in the Old English is the same word as good. So God and good are synonymous. 1 John 1:5 says that in him is no darkness at all. He's also called only wise. And so he always only does what is best. So it's God and his goodness that inspires us to fear the Lord. David Crowder has a song out now. It says, is he good? Is he God? He's good. God Almighty. And I pray that you'll take some time today and just think about his kindness and his goodness. The secret sauce of a happy, healthy Christian life is gratitude. And gratitude is not just what we think. I believe that you need to not just think your thanks, you need to say them. Say them to the Lord. Recount those things. you know, it's the goodness and the love of God, just how good he is to us. The Bible says, if you try to count all the ways that God loves you, you couldn't do it. You just couldn't do it. It's like the sands of the seashore. But here's the thing. You can't count them all, but don't stop counting all the ways that God loves you and God is good to you. It is his goodness. And the more you see of his goodness, it's going to inspire you to turn and to adjust your view and to hold God in that high view that he belongs. That's the fear of the Lord. Well, it's a lot to think about today, but I sure pray that you will. Most of all, I pray that today and throughout the next week, you'll just look and notice and thank God for all of his goodness and love towards you. Have a great week. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Inside Out.
Thanks for joining us today on this episode of Inside Out. If this content has been helpful to you, it would mean a lot if you'd leave a review or share this with others on social media. For more teachings and resources, you can visit Meadowbrook Church online at mbcocala.com. And if you have any questions for the podcast, you can send an email to podcast@mbcocala.org. That's all for today. We'll see you next time right here on Inside Out with Tim Gilligan.